Hopefully this is the last day we'll be looking at 8. But it's from Psalm, where we're studying in Luke 14, verse 26. But go now to Psalm 119. Start in, this is under the Hebrew letter Mem, so it starts in verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. Amen. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And from a spiritual standpoint, it's, I hate every way that isn't the way. I hate every aspect that isn't abandonment. I hate every... this is an incredible statement. I hate every false way. And his life alone is the way. The way is only manifested in your abandonment of self. You understand that? So every time you take self back, the evil one begins to have influence because you've got an issue. You've got something that needs to be done. We're going to come back to that, but let's go to Ezekiel 8. We've studied this more times than we probably needed to, or maybe not, verse 7, remember this is when let's read it. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and beheld, and behold every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed on the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery or his imagination? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Now, every time that you run into an issue which isn't automatic, which isn't fulfilled, and then what you, then when you take that back, you take your life back in order that you can solve something, what you're saying to God is you've forsaken the earth. You understand? You're forsaken you as the earthen vessel. This is a revelation of what goes on in your mind. There's nothing new under the sun. There's 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. Jezaniah, or the Antichrist, is still their leader. They're still doing the bidding of the whore. And every time you go into that chamber of your imagination, your imagery, then you, unless it's repentance instantly, then you are going on the way that is false. From a spiritual standpoint. Now this is as big as it gets in what we call sanctification. There must be repentance. Everybody understand a little bit? You understand when you lean on your own arm of understanding even for a second? What you're saying to God is you have forsaken the earth, therefore I have to take over again. I have to rebuild the things that I have destroyed. Let's see some more. Go back to Psalm 104. Does anybody believe me? What is? I don't understand what happened. What is the it when it happens? I didn't understand that.
I'll have a customer that I've forgotten about, or should have called, or I have a certain protocol that I try and follow with customer relations, and I'll forget something. And it happened again yesterday. I got a big job, and I forgot to call the guy and make keep connections. So my imagination starts working, but by now he's looking for someone else. The whole job's over, and all the work I've got everybody to do, estimated, wasted, and it's just going to crumble. You know, it's that type of thing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he calls me, and he's happy as can be, and just has a question or two. But that and similar scenarios are common. And, it's got, they're just never correct. But they have a lot of power. Because if you believe what your mind tells you, then you respond accordingly. In that case, it is just not.
let's go, let's continue on. It's 105. I mean, so verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Wait, you said
Psalm 119, verse 105.
Ah, okay.
Where we were. 104 was, though through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. That's what we're talking about.
I forgot what a precept is. What's a precept?
Thought. In this case, the precept is the details and revelation of the law and the meaning of it.
Not a principle or anything like that?
No. All right, so 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts. By thy law do I love. Now, maybe the better translation is, I hate thy thoughts which are vain. Now, vain. Right, this is just an explanation of the, yeah. But this one is correct.
It's correct to put vain in there.
Yeah. It's because he's saying, what your thoughts, no matter how necessary you think they are vain. They're empty because they don't stand the test of faith. And they don't stand the test of truth. Your thoughts have to do with temporal issues. So there's an issue comes up, and you take thought for what to do about it. And we do it as natural as breathing. It's the default position. And you have to repent from that position to, rather than taking that default position, you always go back onto the Father. 100% dependence. Even if it's for the corn and wine and the oil, the very essence of the things that you need to live, you take no thought. Because the promise of God is that he will meet every need. If he doesn't meet every need with no effort on your part, then this whole book's a lie. But we can't. It's too fearful. We talked about this before. The fear of living without thinking about it is so, it's terror. I know a lot about this because that everything goes to hell. I hate thoughts, but thy law do I love. That's what that verse says. Because all thoughts are vain, empty, a puff of smoke.
Is there a difference between vain thoughts and other thoughts? Seriously?
This is just, look, it doesn't say vain thoughts. It just says I hate thoughts. Vain is in italics, but I agree with the italics because it further explains it. I hate thoughts which are vain. Because they come from the evil one. The predicate of thoughts is the fall. Boy, did I dance. I remember when I first studied this. I was a good dancer, but I was an unbelievable dancer spiritually. I justified everything. And this is what I'm talking about, dancing. It's the way of the snake. Instead of abandonment of self. All right, let's keep going.
And I have a little thing here with thoughts. When I talk about the imagination thing, those thoughts I don't believe are generated by me. They're generated somewhere in this amorphous, sometimes mental world.
Well, they're generated by those 70 men of the ancients of Israel that are your counselors in your mind. That's your Sanhedrin. That's your Jerusalem that now is.
Okay, and so somehow they conspire and drop this information in.
But constantly conspiring. That's all they can do. They can't do anything else because they're trying to do everything there that's possible to keep you off the way. Anything to cause you to lean on your own understanding for anything. Remember, the definition of fornication in the scriptures is going somewhere other than God himself for your needs. That's fornication spiritually. That's the trick of the evil one. That's the trick of the whore. The greatest example of that is there in every culture that I'm aware of, there's a saying that all believe is in the Bible. God helps those that help themselves. No. God helps only those that admit they're helpless. Don't you see? You live by vain thoughts. Well, they come from the evil one.
They come in from the way that I was brought up, the thing that has worked for me. I had the experience kind of like what Gary was talking about yesterday. I got an email from the people that are trying to find me a job in San Antonio saying, would I be interested in a lower paying job? And I wrote them back and I said, I think I'll hold out for the big one. And they wrote back and said, that one had already been given away. Of course, the immediate thought came into my head was, where am I going to send my next resume to? Because that's what worked. I learned what it worked. And I did. I mean, at that point, I was able to just laugh at it. I mean, the funny thing I thought to myself was that I really would like to stay home and concentrate on school instead of working. Why am I thinking about how to find a job that I don't want? But it was because of the thought that was in my head that the way I was raised up, the way I... the way that all the idols have built it within me, that when you get turned down on one position, you send a resume to another one. So I was prepared to follow that well-worn path of thought down to its logical conclusion, which is, do something. And for once, I didn't.
Remember what happened to Israel when they went into the land? They hadn't farmed for centuries. so there was no knowledge. And when they took over the homes of the, you know, they didn't know when to plant, they didn't know when to reap, they didn't know what to, and so all of the Jebusites and Canaanites, everybody, they had these little home idols in their house. And they were little ones, and they had several different kinds, one for the happy family, one for, and so the people told him, well, here's how it works. You have to worship these, you have to give, you have to look and talk to these idols, and then that'll, and that's what they did. Well, isn't that what we do?
Lucky Rose.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole deal. There's a thousand things that you learned that you think and hope are gone, but they still are there. And they're all the ways that you learn to do things and behave and social mores or whatever it is. And you're the new creature, the new creation is Christ in you, who doesn't need any of that. All of those are evil. But the one still saying, well, you got to put this up here. This is how you do this. And these are these little, the how-tos of, this is what, and they seem like there's natural is breathing. And they are, because that's what they hear. That's the evil. The idolatry that's within us, that we've carried these idols on our shoulders, just as they did in Babylon. We got some gold and some silver, and we got some made of wood and some straw.
Yeah, it starts out with your parents and then your teachers, and then eventually you find yourself doing the exact same thing. Not last week, but the week before that, when Alice was talking about being a nurse, I said, study hard. And that's not the way it happens, but I quoted the very same idol that I, you know, learned to try to, you know, push her down that same path.
Then they will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. Why? Because that's the common idolatry. You understand? That's why I accept you be converted and become as that little child without self-awareness. Without the awareness of need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. To be is that, to become as that little child in total dependence with no guile. And the guile is the manipulations you do in your mind to convince yourself that you're doing the thing that God wants you to. Let's keep reading. All right, we stopped at 113. Now, as opposed to, it says, I hate thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, evildoers, or the evil one, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. The hope is that the resurrection is real and total in you. You no longer need to live as a Gentile. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto my statutes continually. Now you remember what the statutes are. The statutes are things that you think are impossible to do. There's the law, the commandments, and the statutes. The statutes are universally in the law, in the Torah, Then there are things that every person thought was impossible. Just as you think it's impossible to live without thinking. It's a statute. And so, rather than say, okay, God, whatever the cost, I live only this way. I mean, if you don't see this, don't worry about it. I'm talking to somebody else. But if you can see it, it'll transform everything. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hope is only the resurrection. It's the only word that hope is never, as in English, the expectation of some good thing. So yeah, that's why all Gentiles face the east, because the morning sun is a new day. There's some new possibilities. There are 10,000 adages about that. We face the west. We face darkness and say, praise your name, because I no longer need the light of the moon or the sun. The Lord, the Lamb of God is my only light. We no longer need to depend on this evil one for anything. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statute, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I'm afraid of thy judgments. We're going to read the next section, and then there'll be enough on hate. I have done judgment and justice. Have me not. I'm not seeing too well. Lead me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Hallelujah. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That's every other way besides abandonment. I hate it with perfect hatred. There's no other better, there's no better summary of that we could have had for the upcoming Yom Kippur. Think of the number of vows that you can destroy. The number of paths of neurons take automatically. Remember, this thing, this beast, is just entangled like a den of serpents. And there's nerve pathways that are the ones that are get all, they have to get, that's what you do. God has got a whole new way to ignore all of those. And just as the birds, animals live by instinct, so God has placed that within us that we too can live by instinct. No longer thoughts. And that instinct is the way. And in it is the truth. And in it is the life, for it's Jesus Christ himself. That's why the mind of Christ is total emptiness. It's the statute. Doesn't seem like it can be done. But if you're not doing it, you must repent. Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross, and you will follow him. But it has to be total abandonment. You can't just take a little bit back. All right. Any thought? Any response?
Yeah, I have one. When we start reading in 121, and basically I understand the principle we talked about, that this is the Spirit of Christ speaking through David. This is his struggle with flesh, with this life.
That's before his baptism. Baptism, then the mind of Christ was manifested, and it was tested to see whether or not it was tested in the most dire ways. This stuff here, 99.99% of it is pre-baptism and the Psalms.
Okay, that's fine. But then you look at this, the anguish and the depth of thought and the fear.
Amen.
This is not writing. This is person.
Person, and the purpose of it is to cause the fear of God to become our only life.
To see him as he is.
Right. Yeah. But you have to lose you as you are.
Yeah. Same story.
You have to have been buried forever. Take a big guy.